The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 17 of our Revelation series. This message is entitled, The Woman and the Dragon. We will be reading Revelation chapter 12, the first six verses. Let's begin with Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert place, prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. The first six verses of Revelation chapter 12 are a review of the first half of the Great Tribulation. John received amazing details of these 3.5 years. Now, at this stage of the vision that the Lord gave him, he gives a word picture to summarize what had happened, what John had seen. So far, he had seen angels, demons, deadly judgments, revivals, heaven's glorious courts, and the awful decimation of the earth's environment. It was time to review all that had happened and see the beginning of the second half of the Great Tribulation. John called this word picture a great and wonderful sign. He said, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. It is easy to identify the sign that he sees because it is a woman clothed with the sun. The sun, we know, is a symbol of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Paul says the same thing in Romans. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, we read, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be clothed with Christ is to be made righteous before God. No one can be righteous by their own efforts, but only when we are clothed with Christ are we justified in God's sight. We know the woman belongs to God, for the son she births goes to heaven, and God protects her by giving her a hiding place after her son is raised to heaven. The answer is clear. This is a picture of God's people. The dragon, described in the opening verses of Revelation chapter 12, has 7 heads and 10 horns. This represents Satan and his army. Later, we will read as we understand and study the subject of the beast that he has 7 heads and 10 horns. These are kings that make up his demonic army. And so we see Satan having these demonic leaders, the 7 heads and the 10 horns. He is called the great red dragon. And he is ready to eat the woman's baby. We know that Satan wants to destroy the people of God. The Lord Jesus said that he has come to kill, and to steal and to destroy. Throughout history, this has been a fact. But at the end of the age, Satan will be especially angry. He will be out to destroy the people of God. The woman represents God's people, but there is more to tell about her. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, that the woman wasn't only clothed with the sun, but the moon was under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars was on her head. The symbol on her head represents the 12 tribes of Israel. A 12-jeweled crown is on her head. The moon is under her feet. The moon represents the Gentile church that reflects the sun. So we see at one end of the woman, a 12-jeweled crown representing Israel. And at the other end of the woman, we see the moon, the Gentile church. This woman is made up of the entire people of God. She's a symbol, a picture of the people of God throughout all of history, including both the Jewish people and the Gentile church. I love what the scripture says in Exodus chapter 28, verse 17 to 22. For there we read about these 12 jewels that represent Israel. This is in reference to the Urim and the Thummim, which was the breastpiece or the breastplate of decision. The priest had to wear this when he came into the holy place. And if there was sin in the camp, one of these stones that represented the children of Israel would light up. And the Lord would be telling the priest that somebody within that tribe needed to get their life back in order with God. So we read Exodus 28, verse 17. Mount four rows of precious stones on the breastplate. A ruby, a topaz, a beryl, a turquoise, a sapphire, an emerald, a jacinth, an agate, an amethyst, a chrysolite, an onyx, and a jasper. Mount them in gold settings. There are to be 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes. So this we see all through Scripture, that these 12 stones or precious gems represent the 12 tribes of Israel. They are not only on this crown of the woman who symbolizes the people of God, but they're also mentioned as stones that are in the foundations of the city of God that we read about at the end of the book of Revelation. The moon, as I said, represents the church. The church has no light of her own, but she reflects the light of Christ. So here we see it. Israel and the church, the two witnesses. Combined, they become the people of God who have stood with him and walked with him as his witnesses on the earth through all of history. These are the two anointed ones, the two prophets, the two witnesses at the end of the age. We are experiencing or seeing here a review of the first 11 chapters of the book of Revelation. And so we see a great and wondrous woman who is made up of Jews and Gentiles who love the Lord. She, we might say, is the bride of Christ. Do you remember Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 and verse 9? One of the angels says to me, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." He showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. The Lord is married to his people. Even in the Old Testament, this picture of the Lord being married to his people was there. In Isaiah 62, verse 4 to 5, we read about that. This is not just a new covenant reality, but throughout the Old Testament, the Jews are seen as God's bride. And Jeremiah also speaks of this. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband." The fact that this crowned woman with the moon under her feet represents the people of God is not a new concept. She has existed for thousands of years. She is God's bride. She is the bride of Christ. She is the people of God. And the scripture says that she is pregnant. She is in pain, and she is about to give birth. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8 says, where Jesus is talking about the end of the age, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and great famines in various places. All of these things, he says, are the beginning of birth pains. Here we see this woman about to give birth, and she cries out in pain to give birth. Revelation tells us that the woman gives birth to a male child. There is a special baby that Jesus said would be born at the end of the age. We already have identified this special baby. It is the end time prophetic church of the Lord Jesus Christ that rises up in this great end time prophecy, in this great book of Revelation, in this great time of the great tribulation. We see the prophetic church made up of the two witnesses that comes forth. This is what is about to be born. And this child of God, this seed of the woman, comes forth with miracles and power and authority. It says that the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. After this child is raised up to heaven, that's what we read in Revelation 12, verse 16. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. So this child that is born is not all of the offspring of the woman, but it is a special prophetic group of both Jews and Gentiles who love Jesus. We've noticed already in these first chapters of the book of Revelation that the Christians have gone through pain. Pain accompanies birth. We are told that the woman cried out in pain. Israel and the church in the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation have been persecuted. There has been many who have been martyred. There has been great pain during this period of time. They have been mocked and slandered and ridiculed by the world and by the demonic forces. And many of them have been killed. In an earlier study, we discovered that the moon turns to blood. But these are labor pains. And through all of these things, the great prophetic end time church will be born. That's the picture that John is being given right now. Now, there are illustrations in the scriptures that often parallel one another. The woman in this vision parallels Mary, and the birth of the male child parallels the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And of course, Herod tried to kill that child, just like the dragon is there in this picture to destroy and eat the child. Revelation 12, however, is not about Jesus, for the parallels soon unravel. They soon break down as we examine the entire story. One day, Jesus will rule with the rod of iron, but that will happen in the millennium, not at this point in the tribulation period. Furthermore, following the male child's ascent to heaven, the rest of the woman's seed run off to the special hiding place to be taken care of for 1,260 days. That's for the remainder of the great tribulation period. For the next 3.5 years, the rest of the church and the rest of redeemed Israel have a kind of protection that comes to them from the Lord. That did not happen after the resurrection of Christ, but it will happen in the great tribulation period. The male child is not Jesus, but the prophetic church at the midpoint of this tribulation period. As we review the amazing words of the prophetic church, two things stand out. The male child, the prophetic church, will do two things that have never happened before. First of all, it says, he will rule the nations with an iron scepter. As we discovered in the previous chapters, that Israel, redeemed Israel, and the people of God will come into power all around the world. They will stop things like abortion. They will stop things like overt pornography or overt expressions of the gay lifestyle. They will stop drugs and criminal activity and crooked behavior in government. They will rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's the first thing that we see. Secondly, the male child will be caught up to God and to his throne. Never before in history has the Church of Jesus Christ ruled the world with an iron scepter like this. And never before in history has a great crowd of people been caught up into the heavens in a resurrection. These are two things that happen in this picture that we are given of the woman and her baby. The church will be outstanding in the first half of the tribulation. Even though persecution and judgment will be commonplace, they will lead multitudes to Christ. This will happen so powerfully that for a moment, Christians will rise to the glory that the Lord promised them. You know, the scripture tells us that darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness will cover the people. But the Lord says, my glory shall come upon you and nations shall come to the brightness of your rising. He's not talking about the glory of God coming to the people of God in the millennium, because great darkness doesn't cover the earth then. And this doesn't happen before the tribulation period. This is something that can only be filled at this time. And it fits in with this picture and with what we have already studied about these two prophetic witnesses. The glory of the Lord comes upon them. The scripture says that these two witnesses will complete their mission. They will preach the gospel, and all the nations shall hear the gospel, and they will have great revivals. I love what it says in Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is what will happen through this man-child who is born of the woman of God. But Satan will be there to destroy the woman, the woman's child. He will rule for just a short period of time. And then he will be killed. The prophetic leaders who are ruling among the nations, who have stopped all the vice and the criminal activity, they will have such authority and such power that those who come against them with military coups, with rebel attacks, they will be destroyed by supernatural power as fire will come out of the mouths of the prophets and the witnesses, and they will destroy their enemies. The Bible even says that they will be able to turn the water into blood and cause plagues to come upon the earth at that time. But just previous to their coming into power, an angel has gone down from heaven and unlocked the great abyss, the bottomless pit. And out of that pit has come a cloud of demon spirits, millions of demons, who will for a season, for 5 months, go and torment the people of the world who do not know Christ. The scripture says that they have a king over them. He is the beast. He is the Antichrist. He comes up from the abyss. And when the Lord takes his hand off of these two prophetic groups, Satan will be ready. The dragon will be there to devour the child that was born to the woman. And that's exactly what we saw. Apollyon and all of his armies and the four demon lords who came up from the river Euphrates will unite together with all of the armies of darkness on the earth, and they will come and attack the woman's seed. And violence will erupt. Only a couple of years, or even perhaps 1 year after the Christians and the redeemed Jews come to power, they will be suddenly removed from office. All around the world, prophetic people who at one time will rule the nation will be attacked and killed, and their bodies will be left on the streets. For 3 days, they will not be buried. The people who have killed them will not allow them to be buried. But after 3 days, the scripture teaches us that God will breathe life into these who are lying in the streets. And all of a sudden, a huge resurrection will take place. We have seen resurrections throughout the scriptures. The early prophets raised up the widow's son. Jesus raised individuals to life, including Lazarus. And even when Jesus himself was raised and came out of the grave, the Bible says that many of the patriarchs were raised to life again and walked in the holy city. But this is a resurrection with the greatest amount of people that have ever been raised at one time before in all of history. I think we're looking at about 1 million saints who will be slaughtered and then raised back to life again. It is interesting to note that everything that happens in the book of Revelation has already happened some other time in history, only to a lesser degree, where the scope of what has happened back then has been kind of a snapshot or a picture, something not as far-reaching and not as extensive, but it has taken place. Judgments have come on those who have stood in rebellion against the Lord. Earthquakes have come and swallowed up those who rebelled against Moses, for example. Mercy ministry was extended. Healings were given. Everything that takes place in the book of Revelation has sometime happened before. But when this great 7-year period comes, this great tribulation period, all of these things, the judgments, the revivals, everything will be much bigger than it's ever been before. And this here is a review of everything that's happened. I'm amazed at the teaching that is given to us in this book of Revelation. It's as if no Christian who reads this book should have any questions about what is going to happen. And we should not be afraid. We should not be running from this book. The scripture says, blessed are those who hear it, who take it to heart, who receive it. This book is an instruction manual. It's a prayer manual. It's a manual that will teach us how to be in step with the Lord, how to find our place in what he is about to do. And here at the 12th chapter, we get this amazing review of the woman of God in all of history, who at the end of the age travails and gives birth to a male child who will during that time rule the world with an iron scepter. But the devil will be there to destroy the male child, the great end time church of Jesus Christ. And he will be there to devour the child as soon as the child is born. But shortly after the child is born, he will be snatched up. That's that resurrection. He'll be called up into the clouds and into the purposes of God. So we have this amazing review. The review of Revelation chapter 12 keeps us from losing sight of God's big plan. It shows us that God is the one who's in control. When all of these things happen, we will know if we are there on that day and we see so many people being killed, we might even be one of those people. We will know that this is part and parcel of the great plan of God. And the result of all of these people being raised up into heaven is that the people of the world who are left behind will start to glorify the God of heaven. Hearts that were so hard and so resistant against the purposes of God, those in witchcraft and darkness who it would seem could never be saved, will all of a sudden open their hearts because of what they see, with millions of people being raised off the earth after they had been lying in the streets and their bodies were decaying and smelling and these were their enemies. But when they see them raised up to God because the breath of life comes into them and they come back to life again, the fear of God will come upon the nations of the world, and the rest of these people will come, many of them will come to Christ. That revival we will read about in the 14th chapter of Revelation. But then we read one more verse here. It says, the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. That's Revelation 12, verse 6. And this speaks of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. A few verses later, in chapter 12, verse 16, it says, then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. When the prophetic church is martyred and subsequently resurrected to heaven, the rest of the church will be left behind. It's not a bad thing to be left behind, because this group of individuals, both Jews and Christians, who perhaps were not on the front rows of the dynamic purposes of God, will all of a sudden rise to the place of anointing and power. They will at this time be protected by the Lord. They will go into hiding for the last half of the Great Tribulation. That church that remains will have witnessed a full-scale slaughter of thousands of their most dynamic leaders. But God is about to do a new work with the remainder of his seed who are left on the earth. First, God will provide a place of protection for them for 3.5 years. Second, he will anoint these saints who have not been on the front lines, and he will release them to do the work of the ministry. At this point, God is not finished with the earth, nor is he finished with the people who live on it. There are more judgments to come, but there's more mercies that will come too. He will shake the world, so to speak, in order to find more who can be saved. He's not finished either with the woman's offspring. The more feeble saints who are left behind will rise as the new champions. Some Christians feel that the days of high-profile heroes in the body of Christ are over. They say that God will take his anointing away from superstars and just kind of, you know, make everybody equal. Nothing could be further from the truth. In the days that are ahead, the most gifted saints will become even more powerful. Their anointing will not be reduced. Rather, the weaker saints will rise to the top, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them, and they will experience new anointing. And heroes among the people of God will be seen everywhere. Those who are hiding in the back of the church, those who are shy, those who are the more timid ones, will find the power of God coming on them in the last half of the great tribulation. And they will do even greater things than those who served the Lord in the first half of the great tribulation. In the next chapter, we're going to learn about Satan being cast down to earth, and following that, the beast and the false prophet. The battle is intensifying.